This is like that awkward sex that you have when you're a teenager. Do you want to? I guess maybe I should. Should I? You want me to just start like touching you? Or?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Is that good?
Hi.
Hello and welcome to the second Blonde Swedes podcast, guaranteed to be somewhat less than 1.5 hours long. In this episode, who are the Blonde Swedes? Listener mail, technology in rear view, what's up with Liam, and much, much more. The Blonde Swedes podcast, brought to you by the makers of pineapple orange juice. So sit back, relax, and listen to
the Blonde Swedes podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Blonde Swedes podcast. Joining me, as always, is Liam. Say hello, Liam.
Hello, Liam. That was a much shorter episode.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, we're still going. Okay.
Thank you for joining us, and we apologize for the last one, and we're making up for it by making this one only 30 seconds long.
Wait, we're... Okay.
We haven't gone over that yet. There's 5 seconds left. You got anything to say?
I thought you were apologizing for the last one, and we're making up for it by doing more.
Oh, which, that would be cruel.
That's kind of the Blonde Swedes way, though.
Okay, let's go for that. Okay. Well, what we thought we'd start off with this week is perhaps an explanation of who we are, what we're all about, why we're here. We didn't bother with that in the first episode. We just kind of rolled with it as if everybody knew.
I like to look at that as our pilot episode.
Yeah, it was a proof of concept more than anything else.
Oh, proof of concept.
Mm. Highfalutin.
Yeah.
Another hallmark of the Blonde Swedes.
Excellent.
But
so who are we?
So what?
I'd like to know who we are. Who are we?
Yeah, well, we're a band that, up until this point at least, has... done covers of tunes of other musicians who we like.
That's right.
That's right. And we do this primarily in basements, exclusively in basements.
Yeah, or second rooms of apartments.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, if you're in the West.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, we found that gets harder and harder to do. And as we get older and older, we do less and less of it. And we really didn't do that much of it to start with, but we still think of it as our primary mission. We do that as a culmination of all the other interests we have in technology and equipment and just basically being creative kind of guys. And then this podcasting thing happened, and we think we found something we can actually do. And that is talk to each other. On the
talk
phone.
To each other and record it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
If we had been doing this all along, we'd have like 8,000 podcast episodes.
That's right. And all of them would be as interesting as this one is.
Mm-hmm. But, Liam, why don't you take us back to the beginning? When did we first start doing the Blonde Swede thing?
Well, I think it was in the 1920s. And I owned a speakeasy. No, it wasn't. It was the late 1980s, right?
Well, we met in 89, yes.
89, so very late 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And we met in a, both of us worked for a computer training company and back in Columbus, Ohio. I was still a young thing in college. I think you were out of college by then, right? Yeah, you were out of college.
college.
You were out of prison by then.
Yes.
And I was still in college. So I was sort of, you know, the young naive one, and you brought me under your wing and showed me the ways. No, you didn't. We met, I can't remember the first conversation that we had about music and how to start. I think it was something along the lines of you want to come over and do a song. And I said, well, okay, I'm not doing anything else. And I think that was the beginning of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. I don't remember either, but I'm sure it was a conversation about Rush or U2 or somebody we liked, or and said, you know, we could do that if you want.
Right. See, again, the whole dating thing.
Right.
Do you want to go out, do stuff? Sure. I like stuff, too. Okay. Here's where I live. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And it was just a typical thing when you discover that you can do something and it actually you get a result that sounded something like music. It was very exciting. Right. We're at that stage right now with the podcasting thing. We're very excited because we did one. And
it went very well. Mm-hmm.
It went very long.
It did go very long. In fact, all the feedback I've gotten is overwhelmingly positive, with one agreed on point. Mm-hmm. Make it shorter.
Well, I'd certainly have to agree with that. if our webmaster is to be believed, we got 43 downloads of the first podcast.
That's actually pretty good.
Yes. And for comparison purposes, even one download of the podcast would dwarf a typical month of bandwidth used by the blondesweeds.com website.
Wow. Well, there you go.
So that,
you know, we're the number one podcast on iTunes, too. I don't know if you knew this or not.
What? If you search by Blonde Swedes?
Well, yeah, it's in the garage bands that have hair color in their title category.
I see.
Number one, though.
That's excellent.
That's right. The Black Fins are number two, but we won't talk about them.
It's time for listener mail.
All right, well, let's move into viewer mail then.
Okay, it sounds like a good idea.
Next.
We were very excited to get some.
Yes, it's the first time ever, I think.
Yes. A first for the first podcast.
Yeah.
Now, I got a couple along the lines of this one. It says, we listened to the podcast last night, and we kept waiting for some music. Basically, we just felt like voyeurs to a phone call. What's up with that? Well, it's called a podcast, and apparently this was your first one. They're all like that.
Right.
No, really. They usually are just phone calls, and they sound like it. I mean, right?
Yeah, it's just people. Usually, just people talking to each other.
Yeah.
unless it's a marketing thing.
At least our phone call has a high production value.
That's right. Just remember, we may be talking about nothing, but we're sounding good while we're doing it.
Right. We are not physically located in the same place. William is one place. I'm somewhere else. Those places are non-disclosed.
Yes.
For this moment, because, you know, we've disclosed them before and we'll disclose them later. But right now, they're not disclosed.
Yeah, the whole Patriot Act is very tricky about this.
Yes. While describing methods, you can't also divulge location, I think.
Right.
Something like that. But anyway. And we are just talking on the phone, but at each of our respective non-disclosed locations, we are recording with microphones and two computers. And then those files get smashed together by a very complex process that involves a mouse and then published to you, our faithful listener. All right. Well, that's one message I got. You got any mail you want to talk about there?
Well, really, the most important piece of mail just said that William has a sexy voice. I think that's probably the best feedback.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But later on, I've got a message that said that yours is good and super pro.
Oh, I'm super pro.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a consolation prize, is it?
Yeah, smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah. But I just don't forget I'm the sexy one.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to go cry.
I thought you said this wasn't a gay podcast.
All right. Well,
here's a good comment.
Mm-hmm.
I did spend some of the time thinking that I should be able to hear these guys on the radio. See?
Well, hold it really close to your ear. Maybe you will.
Or listen to it on your computer and have the radio next to it, and it will be like it's we're on the radio.
It would be.
Yeah. Turn it on to a station that isn't broadcasting and listen to this, and we're on the radio.
Mm-hmm. We need a way to simulate the going under a bridge thing. You can't really quite hear us very well. It's like...
Yeah, that's... Like that.
All right.
So, what other... do you got any more...
Well, Mr. Sexy Voice, I did get one other letter from a very enthusiastic fan.
Well, maybe we should hear that.
All right.
Very enthusiastic letter.
It says, I downloaded it, and I listened to the whole thing. Some of it was very funny, and some was very interesting. Yada, yada, yada. I got a kick out of listening to you two youngsters talk about the youth today and the bare-bones technology you had as kids. Yada, yada, yada. I started out listening to The Shadow Knows.
Wow.
Mm. Yada, yada, yada. When Bill, who the hell's that? I don't know. Bill brought up the program he had heard about quantum physics and consciousness. I wish you guys had explored it more.
Aha.
Love, Mom. So,
I have to say,
for my mom, Bill.
Yes.
If you could come up with the link to that or the name of that, I think that one listener would appreciate that.
That would be great. I don't have that in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I could I can research that for the next podcast.
Okay, why don't we research that for the next section? We'll get it in there before the end of this one.
Or, you know, we could post that link on our official website.
Yes, we could.
Which
so
what is
all
the
you
address
moms
of that
out there
again?
Listening in, just go to www.blondeswedes.com and click on the link that says Mom.
But only if you are a mom.
Yes, there'll be a test.
Yes.
That link is www.mum.edu and click on the podcast link.
That sounds good. Oh, speaking of tests, that reminds me of an old game thing. You remember the old Leisure Suit Larry's?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how they used to decide whether you were allowed to see the raunchy version or the clean version?
Oh.
You'd answer like 5 or 6 history questions.
That's right.
And
were they popular culture sort of questions, or were they just history questions?
No, they were history questions, like you know, what year was Kennedy shot? And things to that they felt would be evidence of your true age.
I totally forgotten that.
Yeah, and it was obviously not hard to... I don't know how many questions there were. I definitely, when playing the game, I would get the same questions frequently at the startup.
Hmm.
But
that's interesting. I mean, it's kind of, and it's sort of a throwback to the movies, you know, the World War II movies. Of you meet someone who you suspect is a spy, and you ask, "And who won the World Series this year?"
Right.
And the spy is always, and then you know they're a spy.
Right.
Huh.
You find out they're British.
How much easier would it be to find that information? You're playing the game, you're on the internet, oh, it's Kennedy shot, blah. And
yeah,
things
well,
are
you
so
know,
different now.
Yeah, definitely now that would not be
Yeah,
not
you'd
be
have
very
to
good.
Actually have,
but
if
also,
you didn't know, you'd have to have a book or someone you could ask back
well,
then.
What you had to have was a clue, and it's
right.
kind of like a rite of passage to the game. Okay, you learned your history, so now you can see some... very modest pixelated nudity at some point in this game. Yay you.
Wow, I completely
But yeah, I frequently
that.
Failed the test even though I was old enough because they were just some of the questions I was guessing on.
Wow, I that what a strange thing. I hadn't even remembered that until you said it, but now that you've said it, I think I may have even had a cheat sheet that someone prepared. Come to think of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that would have been a popular thing on the boards.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of games from my next door neighbor who was a lot older, and I think that maybe he gave me, here's this game, and here are the answers. So you can see the, you know, the pixelated boobies.
Yeah, I remember the thrill of my adventuring life, which I've never topped, was I got to have sex on the beach in Leisure Suit Larry 5.
Wow.
Yes.
That's more exciting than my real life sex life, but we won't go into that here.
Thank you. We don't have that kind of time.
No, we really don't. You know, and I pay good money in therapy.
All right.
But yes, so that's a good letter. Mm-hmm. Good series of letters. Mm-hmm. And letters. Feedback. Something we've never really received.
Yes, it's a good thing to get, I guess.
Yeah. Especially when it's positive and you mine it from a pool of people who thinks the sun shines out of your butt. Works really, really well. So, Mom, what do you think of us?
I think you're wonderful.
And now, technology in rear view.
Okay, I'd like to introduce a new segment we're going to be doing here regularly, the technology review section, what I like to call technology in rear view, where I will review something new and something old, or just something old, but never something just new. Never, never. I would never do that.
And always twirling. Yeah.
And this section is brought to you by pineapple orange juice, the drink of choice for blonde Swedes everywhere. It cures all ills.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, brother. So my review today in technology in rear view, I'm going to talk about the Sony Walkman WM1 from 1981 and the Apple iPod from right now. Well, I don't know if you remember the Walkman WM1. Liam, do you recall this device?
I think I may have had one of those.
Yeah, the first Walkman.
Yeah, I did have the first Walkman.
Cassette, obviously. Had the ubiquitous headphones with the orange foam covers.
Yes.
Which was, that's how you knew somebody had it. Just like with the iPod now, everybody's got the white earbuds.
Right.
It was covered things, yes.
I threw mine away, actually. I don't like them.
No. I don't see why anybody ever used the iPod's earbuds.
Yeah.
But everybody used the Walkman headset because not only was this the first stereo device, portable device, I think, that anybody used, but because of that, nobody had headphones before that to wear outside. So these headphones became iconified associated with the Walkman. But that early Walkman, it was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the size of a brick. It was not small. And that was one of its most awesome features. Because
should have been called hard to walk with it, man.
Yes. But you can't lose it. You know, it's huge. There's no way you're going to lose this thing. You know it's in your coat. And when you put on your coat and you don't feel it, you know. It was also very ugly. It had like a silvery spray paint over plastic look that would flake off, and the buttons were huge and gnarly. And that was also a plus because nobody's going to steal it.
Right.
Also, its batteries were replaceable and available everywhere. It ran on 4 AA batteries. And because it was a linear access device, a tape, you'd have to fast forward and rewind to get from song to song, and you couldn't do that quickly, and you couldn't tell where the next song began and end, which would basically force you to listen to complete songs, which is a great thing. So the technology was helping you out there.
If I can interrupt you, do you remember the the first Walkman that came out that had the music search technology?
I do not.
It you could basically hit fast forward and it would
look for a silence.
Yeah. And it worked great unless a song had maybe a silence in it.
Well, it worked great unless you were a Pink Floyd fan.
Exactly, which I was. And it would just run right to those silences, and then you'd be like, oh, new song, and it would be right in the middle of a song. So it almost kind of worked.
Right, but you didn't want it to work because you got to listen to the complete thing. You put in a Pink Floyd record, you're not looking for one track.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's you're looking for an experience, mister.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
Yes. And of course, the Walkman was analog. You know, this is pre-digital. And so it had this comfy, rumbling distortion without any of that annoying high end that you get nowadays.
Right.
So basically, it had a lot of features, a lot of positive features. Let's compare it to the iPod a little bit.
Okay.
Which is, of course, very hip, very fashionable, which means everybody's trying to take it from you. It's going to get stolen. Has very high sound quality. You know, you can hear every little tinkling note. Unfortunately, this will allow you to hear every missung note on Jessica Simpson's chart-topping album in crystal clear digital. So basically, and the batteries, you know, they're stuck inside. You can't replace them.
You know, you can pay to have them replaced.
Yes, of course, because the first thing you're going to want to do after spending $300 on something is to spend more.
Yes.
Yes, of course. So my recommendation is go to eBay and get a Sony Walkman WM1 just as soon as you can. They don't show up often. I recommend bidding high, bid early. One reputable seller has the handle The Shorn.
Really?
Yes. I have a disclaimer, though. This review is purely subjective. It is not influenced by Sony or Apple or my desire to fetch a ridiculous auction price for outdated novelty personal electronics.
Yeah. The name is just a coincidence, too, I'm sure, right? On eBay?
Yeah, I've just heard good things about him.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's time for Liam something.
So, Liam, tell me.
Yes.
What's going on with you this week?
Well, this week has been a very busy one. We're in the heat of the holiday season here in Seattle.
Yes.
And many things have happened. It snowed. We had a snow day, which was huge, huge news.
Really? How cold did it get?
Below 32.
Uh-huh.
And, so we had our snow day. We may have another one, but when it snows, everything kind of closes down and, people from California drive off the roads and a lot of really weird, weird stuff goes on. So that happened in the middle of the week. And whenever that happens, people just sort of stop what they're doing and walk outside.
Uh-huh.
And it's good, but very disruptive at the same time.
Well, so, that sounds great.
Yeah, that happened. In the middle of all that, I don't know if you read about this or not, did you read about the monorail crash?
I did see a blurb about that, but I didn't get any of the details. I just saw the headline.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal with the monorail. Basically, sometime back, and I think it was the late 80s or early 90s, and I'm sure I'll hear about this if I'm wrong, they put up this big shopping center downtown. And in order to do this, they pinched the monorail tracks a little bit together.
Really?
And this had the effect of there's a section of the tracks that two trains cannot pass each other.
Oh.
Yes. Now, how may you ask, did they handle this technology? Easy. One train driver waves to the other, and then he goes. And then the other train goes. And they've been doing this for 10 years.
Wow.
And it's just it's exactly what Seattle is like, because, you know, anyone in the right mind would go, are you crazy? What? Why are you doing this? Well, it's worked so far. We haven't had an accident.
Yeah. It's just the cooperative nature of the of the fine folks who live there. I mean, imagine that in New York.
Exactly. And what basically happened with the crash is that they got their signals mixed, or one, you know, driver didn't look up to see the other driver, and they both passed each other and pinched together, and now they're stuck, and they're still stuck.
Wow.
Yeah. So the monorail is closed down in the height of the holiday season.
When everybody wants to get around and shop.
That's right. Until next year. So it's been kind of a weird holiday week, full of a lot of shopping and online shopping.
Wow. Did anybody get hurt in that?
No. No. They firefighters came and rescued everyone. And this comes just a few, maybe 6 months after the monorail reopened after the fire. One of the trains caught on fire. So, yeah. So ride the monorail. It's safe. you know, one of the things about shopping I was thinking about tonight.
Yeah.
I do a lot of shopping online because I ship things or have things mailed to Columbus. And I was kind of thinking about how fast new technology goes from novelty to something you not only expect, but you're angry if you can't get it. And the thing I'm thinking of is I shop on a lot of stores, you know, online. And most of them now offer, you can just go to their site, you can click on a link, and you can see exactly where your order is. It's being packed, it's being shipped. We expect it to be delivered the 10th of December. You know, it's been shipped. Here's the UPS number. And the first time I ran across that, I was like, oh my, this is amazing that we can do this. And I think it only has taken a year to, when I find those sites now that don't have that, I'm just angry.
Right, where you get nothing then other than, yeah, we shipped it.
Yeah.
And it never updates. Right. Or at least not, you know, the update you get is that the package arrives.
Exactly. And it just, it made me kind of laugh because it's like, do you realize that you can go on your computer and order something and have it delivered? That's not enough for you? Like, well, it was, you know, and then I was given this thing. Sounds now like I want this thing.
Yeah. You're having your own kids these days moment.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing is I notice people who have had TiVo for a long time were so blown away by the technology and we're like, oh, this is, I've never even dreamed that we could do anything like this. Now complain about it all the time.
Really? You know? Right.
What's wrong? TV didn't change my channel last night, so it didn't tape episode 5 of so-and-so.
Or the time was off a little bit. I missed the first 5 seconds of...
Right. And I find myself doing that, too. I yell at the TiVo box. I'm like,
well, the first thing that happened to me with a TiVo, and I had to correct it immediately by buying more TiVos... was I'd reach for the remote and try to fast forward through the commercials on TV that didn't have one, where I was actually watching TV.
Oh, I do worse than that now. I do that when I do that with the radio. If I'm listening to the radio and I want to rewind, I will reach for a remote to rewind it and then get upset.
It is. There's no excuse. There is zero excuse for there not being a digital buffer
on everything in the world.
Of at least half an hour on everything that plays media.
That's right. And if we could get that on life, that would be incredible. Half an hour. You could say, oh my, you know, you're at a party and you say something. Oh my God, I can't believe I say that. And you just,
it would probably have to be just like the TiVo in that when you do rewind and play forward, exactly the same as it was before.
Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't be very good at all.
Yeah, and that could be really bad if somebody else got hold of your remote and then made something bad happen to you.
That's true.
And then just rewound it a little bit and made you go through it over and over and over again.
Although you could, you know, replay the pixelated boobies many, many times.
Yes. Yes, in the video games. That'd be great if you had a half-hour buffer.
Or pause it. See?
In case you need a drink.
That's right. So yeah, that's sort of thing that's been going on. I do have something though this week that falls into the I guess the Liam annoyance rant department.
Alrighty.
And that would be this. If and I just say that to anybody who's listening. If you go to a fast food place, And they've been around for, I think, 300 years. The same menu, nothing ever changes. If you're in a long line and you get to the front of the line, know what you're going to order. Because again
oh,
tonight.
I totally know what you yes. are talking about.
Again tonight, I'm in line. Someone gets to the front of the line. What would you like, sir? And he looks up at the menu like for the first time. Oh, I think I'd like... And it's like, dude, you've been in line for 15 minutes and, you know, oh, it's a Subway or whatever.
I know exactly what you mean. And I yell at them when I'm in my car, you know, and they're in front of me. Yeah. I always yell the exact same thing. They have burgers and fries. Right. Get one of each.
Right. And it's not like you've never been here before. You don't know. Could it be your first time? Well, I've never been to a McDonald's. What sort of food do you have here? I've never even heard of it before.
Cheeseburger you have.
Yeah. And it happened to me tonight at a Subway. And it you know, big menu. And the guy gets out, well, what would you like on your sandwich? Oh, huh. Well, I think I'd like some lettuce. And it's like, everything's right there in front of you. You can see it for days.
Probably the best example of why that continuing to happen is a Chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
Their menu only has, it's very, very simple.
Yes.
Taco or burrito bowl.
Right.
What meat? You're done deciding. Now move right. down the line and a human will prompt you. The things that are laid out before you here. What would you like me to put on your thing? And the whole thing is designed to move people through quickly and everything else. But every once in a while, you run across that person who's just like flummoxed by the process.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're just not prepared to make this many decisions. Like, this is more decisions than they make in a typical week.
Right. Right. And it just gets me. You always know that moment, and the whole line feels it when, you know, the person looks up at the menu. Because if you have to look up at the menu as you're ordering, you know, you have no idea what you're doing. Right. Well, what kind of, how big are those big fries?
Yes, I definitely understand that one.
Oh, yeah. So that's really all I have to say. That has happened tonight again, and I think the whole line just wanted to kill this guy.
Right. Yeah, well, we're going to have to come up with a solution for that. So, readers, we're open to suggestions. We're happy. Yes. We're happy to evangelize any good ideas you guys come up with.
And by the way, if they wanted to give us some good ideas, would there be an email address they could send those to?
Yes, there would, Liam. They could, of course, write to us at podcast@blondeswedes.com.
Oh, well, there you go. Isn't that nice?
The Blonde Swedes music update.
Yeah, so our
we've
stuff.
Been working on a music production endeavor since
for about 18 years. I think
it
right?
was 2002 when we first started on
oh
it.
Oh my god!
And
yeah,
we are obviously we're a different place in our lives now than when we first did this. It was all of our free time was absorbed by this kind of thing there for a long time.
Yep.
Back in the day. But now, you know, we're doing it. And also, I think we're also not willing to accept anything that we wouldn't ourselves be willing to listen to. And that's changed a lot over the years.
That is very true. And I think it's one of the biggest changes.
Right. And the equipment is here. I mean, we've both got sophisticated setups here. Any PC these days is capable of doing amazing things. With audio now. And so there's none of the limitations that existed back then, which is actually part of our problem. What I have discovered, right. and you may also have realized this, I'm sure you probably have, when your options are unlimited, you can't get anything done.
Yes.
And it pays to sometimes focus and just say, I'm just going to work with this. I have this.
That's
and
right.
Limit your technological and musical choices to arrange it small enough where you can actually get something accomplished.
Yeah. Have you heard my metaphor on that? Mm-mm. The lion and the antelopes?
No, I'd love to.
Yes. Well, the deal is, if you're a lion and you're hunting, and there's a whole crowd of antelopes that are running, if you go out after them and you chase one, and then another one darts past you, and you chase that one instead, another one darts past you, and you chase that one, you'll never catch one, and you'll never eat. So lions, when they hunt, before they start running, they pick one, and they stick with it regardless of what happens, and they either catch that one or not. And I use that metaphor when I'm thinking about all these choices, because it's like there's so much going on. I've got to focus and pursue this and ignore all this other stuff or all these other possibilities.
Yeah, you got to pick up front what, right, you know, the tools you're going to use.
Yeah, or what you want to accomplish, or, right, or whatever, but yeah.
And so we've been working on this for a long time, and we found that since the beginning, from the first song we really worked on was Amy Mann's Not Safe.
Right.
And that's now 4 years, almost 4 years running.
Four years. Right. That's right.
Of production on that. And it's basically been this big, giant lesson in how to work with the current digital,
yeah,
recording technologies.
Which
and
really...
how to do everything wrong we've gone through. For example, for all you guys out there or anybody who's going to do multi-track recording, don't start with the vocals and then add the guitars and then the drums.
Yes. And it's funny, if anyone listens to this who's actually in a band writing music just without technology, they'd be like, that's crazy.
here's an example.
Hey guys, I'll start singing and then you come in with the guitar, and then drummer, you come in. Like, what?
And especially when you're working in two different studios and you're throwing stuff, right, back and forth and putting it together, basically the choices, the capability of doing this has made this much harder. And there has probably been 200 hours put into Not Safe to get it where it is now. And I'm not even sure you've heard where it is right now.
No,
I think you're going to like it. And,
oh, good.
We're definitely going to play a little bit of that here in our closing. So, and we'll talk more about our productions as we go through these.
You know
podcasts.
What I used to? You know what I used to nickname Not Safe, don't you?
No,
Not Done.
And it may never be, but yeah. here's a taste of it, guys. And thank you for joining us on our second podcast, and we hope to see you next time. The Blonde Swedes Podcast is a production of Shorn Media in collaboration with Swedes and Things West Coast.
Hey, everybody. Like what you've heard tonight or don't like what you've heard tonight? Send your virtual panties and room keys to podcast@blondeswedes.com.